కృష్ణా రామ గోవింద నారాయణ.
Here the first word is Krishna. The name Krishna comes from the root word Karsh, which means to attract or draw towards, as in Akarshana. The Lord, by His divine place, by His miracles, by His amazing powers and by His love, attracts and captivates every heart and draws the mind away from the sensory impulses. Baba says this attribute of attraction is characteristic of divinity, and he adds that the divine attracts with the sole purpose of transforming us, of reconstructing us, of reforming us. The name Krishna also comes from the root Krish, which means to cultivate, as a field for growing crops. The name therefore also means he who removes the weeds of negative tendencies from our hearts and sows the seeds of positive traits. Krishna cultivates the harvest of joy in the hearts of his devotees. The second word is Rama, the incarnation of the divine as Lord Rama during the Treta Yuga. Rama means one who is pleasing and lovable. Baba also gives another interpretation that Ra refers to the Atma or the eternal soul and Ma refers to the mind. The Rama principle therefore means merging the mind in the Atma. Moving on, the third word is Govinda, which is a name of Lord Vishnu, especially with regard to his incarnation as Lord Krishna. Go in Govinda refers to the cows. Since Lord Krishna lovingly tended to the cows in the Dwapara Yuga, he bears this name. Baba says, Govinda means the guardian of cows or the guardian of individuals. Go means also individual soul. The tending of cows is a symbolic play of Krishna to indicate his mission of tending individuals. Another inner meaning is that the word go in Sanskrit denotes Vedas. Hence, Govinda also means the one who is reached by chants of Vedic hymns, the one who is the abode of the Vedas. The last word in this line is Narayana, another name of Lord Vishnu. Narayana is actually the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water, and Ayana refers to a resting place. So this means Narayana is one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Vishnu, who is adored as the sustainer of this universe, is most often depicted as the one reclining on an ocean of milk. But this is the superficial meaning of this term Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na-Ra. Ra means to perish and Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. This refers to the jivatmas or the individual living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. Now in this sense, Narayana means whose ayana or resting place is in all naras or living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. The Vedas declare, Antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya narayana sthitaha. That is, Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. The story of Prahlada from our scriptures is direct testimony to the sacredness of this name Narayana. During the summer showers in 1995, Bhagwan narrated this story in great detail. Lord Vishnu assumed the Varaha avatar or the avatar of a boar to destroy the demon Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, the brother of Hiranyaksha, witnessed his brother's death at the hands of the Lord, and he developed anger and hatred towards the Lord. He considered Narayana not as God but as a man and decided to destroy him by any means. And so Hiranyakashipu ordered all devotees, Vedic priests and Brahmins to be killed. The kingdom fell into chaos. Unable to bear the separation from his brother, he developed many weaknesses. and so he soon left his kingdom and went to a mountain to perform penance. At that time, his wife, Queen Lilavati, was carrying his fourth child in her womb. Taking advantage of the demon's absence, the gods attacked his kingdom. They wanted to eradicate the demons to establish world peace. At this point, the celestial sage Narada came down and took Lilavati to the safety of his hermitage and began teaching her at length about Lord Narayana. Lilavati pretended to listen by nodding her head, but inwardly she was worried about her husband's welfare and constantly thought of him. However, Lilavati's child was absorbed in Narada's teachings and he actually began to respond to what Narada was chanting and telling even from inside the womb. The demon Hiranyakashipu got back after a while. He had succeeded in his penance and had obtained a boon from Lord Brahma whereby he could be killed neither by man nor animal, neither on earth nor in the sky, neither by anything living or non-living, neither during the day nor in the night. As time went on, Prahlada became old enough to be sent to school and he joined the sons of other demons. Since his heart was focused on Lord Narayana, he did not imbibe any demonic teachings. Still, he pretended to listen and that made the gurus happy. When he came back after a while, his father asked him, "Prahlada, let me hear you summarize the essence of all the scriptures in one sentence." And Prahlada said, "Om Namo Narayanaya." Hiranyakashipu got infuriated and he sent Prahlada away with the guru so that he may be taught the demonic qualities. But this did not work out and even after a few months, Prahlada repeated only this mantra, "Om Namo Narayanaya." Now, realizing that the son would pose danger to his authority in the future, Hiranyakashipu decided to eliminate him. He ordered his men to torture Prahlada by various means and kill him. But since the Lord's name was imprinted in Prahlada's heart at a tender age, it was impossible to erase it. He continued to chant the name and so he always remained unharmed. As a last resort, Hiranyakashipu decided to make Prahlada drink poison right in front of his eyes and even then nothing happened to Prahlada. And now ensued a war of words between the son and the father. At the end, Hiranyakashipu became highly exasperated and he asked, "Is God really present everywhere? Is he present in this pillar?" "Yes," said Prahlada. And now Hiranyakashipu thundered, "But I cannot see him. I am going to destroy this pillar." He then took a heavy mace and smashed the pillar with force. The pillar broke into two pieces and out emerged a most terrifying form which was half human and half animal. The head was lion's but the body human and it was neither day nor night. It was dusk. Hiranyakashipu remembered the boon he had obtained. That terrifying form took Hiranyakashipu on his lap, so it was neither earth nor sky. It was during dusk, and he was such a mysterious creature, you could not say whether he was man or animal, living or non-living. The boon came back to Hiranyakashipu, and he knew for certain that that form of the Lord was going to put an end to his life. And that is how the Lord conferred His grace and protected Prahlada, who incessantly chanted His name and ensured that the demon Hiranyakashipu is annihilated from the face of the earth. That is the story of this man-lion avatar of Narasimha. And that is the power of the name Narayana. So in this line, Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Narayana, we call out to the Supreme Lord who attracts one and all through His divine love, the one who eternally bestows joy and peace and security on everyone, the loving Lord who takes care of all beings, who exists everywhere and who comes to the rescue of His devotees. Let's move on to the second line.
Madhava Keshava Hari Narayana.
The first word here is Madhava, which comes from Ma and Dhava. Ma denotes Mother Lakshmi and Dhava means husband or master. Goddess Lakshmi also represents nature or Prakriti, which has been created by God and forms an inseparable part of Him. Hence in this context, Madhava means the Lord who is the master of nature, master of creation. The second word is Keshava. One meaning of this word is the one who destroys troubles or Klesha. Another meaning is one who has lovely locks of dark curly hair. And this is derived from the word Kesa, which means hair. The suffix va is added to denote the beauty of the hair by a grammatical rule. This name of the Lord indicates that His hair is black and curly and indescribably beautiful. It captivates and attracts anyone who beholds it, just as His form does. During Baba's Kodaikanal trip in 1999, one day Baba picked up three brothers who had relatively less hair on their heads because of hereditary reasons, and then Baba looked at one of them, smiled mischievously and said, "Hey boy, I can give you hair, but you are not asking." And then pointing to brother Satyajit, he said, "See, even he began to lose hair, and so I touched his head and now it has stopped. There is no more hair fall." And then Baba just paused and out came a revelation. He said, "Some time back, some ladies told me that my hair is becoming thin, that they can see my scalp when there is a breeze. And so, I just increased my hair. See, now it is fine." And he just said this, moved gently his hand over his beautiful halo of hair, and a lovely smile escaped his lips. So that is Keshava, the Lord with that beautiful bewitching hair. The word Keshava also signifies the slaying of a demon named Kesi in the Krishnavatar. This is an interpretation given by Sri Adi Shankara and it is supported by the Vishnu Purana too. Kamsa, the maternal uncle of Krishna, sent Kesi to kill little Krishna, but it was he who met his death at the hands of that little Gopala. There's another meaning that Adi Shankara has given. Kesa denotes the rays that emanate from the sun. Krishna is the source of the sun, the moon and all the effulgent objects in the cosmos, and so he is called Keshava. Adi Shankara presents support from Mahabharata in which Krishna says in the Gita, "The rays that are emanating from me are called Kesas, and so the learned Brahmins call me by the name Keshava." The third word is Hari. Baba says that Hari means remover or destroyer, since it destroys hurdles on the path of sadhana or our spiritual disciplines. The name Hari also means the one who is green in color because of the root word Hara meaning green. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, "My superior complexion is green and therefore I am called Hari." The inner meaning is that the sight of green gives the feeling of peace to the mind. Similarly, remembering Hari, the green-hued Lord, gives peace to our soul. The fourth word is Narayana, whose meaning we already know. Therefore, in this line, Madhava, Keshava, Hari Narayana, we extol the Lord as the beloved consort of Mother Lakshmi, the master of creation. He is the one with lovely locks of dark hair, the one who destroys the hurdles on our spiritual path. Let's move on to the third line.
Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
This is a repeat of the first line of the bhajan. We move on to the fourth line.
Shri Venu Gopala Krishna.
The first word here is Shri, which is a term used to denote respect while addressing a person. The second word is Venu Gopala. Here Venu means flute and Gopala is the name of Krishna referring to him as a cowherd. Here Go means cow and Pala means protect. The third word is Krishna, whose meaning we have seen earlier. Bhagwan used to take students and teachers to Kodaikanal, the hill station in Tamil Nadu, during the months of April and May. We discussed something that happened in 1999, but there's another very beautiful incident that happened much before, sometime in the early 90s. Once during a session before dinner, one of the young schoolboys who was part of the group made bold to request Swami to play the cymbals for the devotional songs that were being sung by the students. Swami readily acceded and took the cymbals and started playing. It was indeed such a beautiful sight. And after the singing session was over, Swami started talking and somehow the discussion moved to Lord Krishna. Professor Anil Kumar, who was also present, suddenly recollected the days in Vrindavan, Swami's ashram in Whitefield, and he mentioned how beautifully Swami would often play with the cymbals during those thrice sessions inside his residence in Vrindavan. And then Swami heard this, smiled, and almost in a whisper he said, "E Vrindavanamulo," that is, "in this Vrindavan, I used to play Talam." And then, pointing his index finger high up in the air as if to indicate a bygone era, Swami said, "A Vrindavanamulo, I used to play the flute," which means, "In this Vrindavan, that is, in the Vrindavan ashram, I played the talam, the cymbals, but in that Vrindavan, that is the Mathura Vrindavan of the Dwapara Yuga, I played the flute." What a sweet revelation, and Professor Anil Kumar got very excited. He wanted to immediately translate it, and Swami said, "No, there is no need for you to translate." But he said, "Swami, please forgive me, I want to translate because you have shared something so valuable." And he did share that with everyone, and it was such a joyous occasion to be blessed to receive such a beautiful message delivered so subtly. There is also a deeper significance about why the Lord chose the flute. Once Bhagwan said, "I would advise you to become the flute, for then the Lord will come to you, pick you up and put you to his own lips and breathe through you, and out of the hollowness of your heart, due to the utter absence of egoism that you have developed, he will create captivating music through you for all creation to enjoy. Therefore, be straight without any will of your own. Merge your will in the will of the Lord. Inhale only the breath of God." That, Baba said, is divine life. That is what I want you to achieve. Hence in this line, "Sri Venu Gopala Krishna," we bow reverentially to the Lord who plays on the flute. Let us seek his blessings to become hollow like the flute so that he may use us as his beloved instruments. Let's move on to the last line.
Madhava Madhusudana Narayana.
The first word here is Madhava, which we already know. The second word is Madhusudana. It comes from Madhu and Sudana. Madhusudana means the Lord who killed the demon Madhu. Baba explains the inner significance by saying that Madhu refers to sensual pleasures. Madhu also means honey, sensual pleasures which entice and entrap, and Krishna destroys the enchantment cast on the mind by the senses. There's another beautiful interpretation too. Madhu is a term used in philosophy to refer to the fruits of actions. Since the Lord destroys the effects of the fruits of our actions, he is also called as Madhusudana. The third word is Narayana, which we have already seen. So in this line, Madhava, Madhusudana, Narayana, we hail the Lord who slayed the demon Madhu, the one who destroys the enticement of sensual pleasures, the master of creation, the all-pervasive Lord who can annihilate the effects of the fruits of our actions.